chapter 1. Stand with me as you turn to verse 16. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. And Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. And we'll read through verse 28. And I want to speak this evening on just how close are you following? How close are you following? Mark chapter 1 and verse 16 as we go through this book of Mark on a Sunday evening. Verse 16 says this, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region and round about Galilee." Would you read verse 17 aloud with me? Verse 17, it says here, read with me. "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Lord, I love you, and I thank you so much for the Bible. I thank you for an unchanging word and an unchanging God. I think of how what you spoke that day is just as applicable today as it was then. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd use me tonight, that you'd give me the very words you'd have me to say in the next few minutes, and nothing less, nothing more. I pray that you'd feed us from the Word of God. And Lord, just draw us closer to you this evening. I love you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 17, he said, the Lord spoke to Simon and Andrew, or Peter and Andrew, and he said to them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Come ye after me. In the book of Matthew, it's translated just simply, follow me. Follow me. Come after me. And you know, the call to every Christian is the call to follow Christ. When you think about the call, and I think about what it means to follow. When you think about that word follow, if someone says follow me, you know, what comes to your mind when you think about that? What comes to my mind is that we would have the same destination, wouldn't you? If you're following somebody, you better be going to the same place, amen? I think that goes to our salvation. I think if you're going to follow Christ, you better have the same destination as Christ. You know, you can always tell a follower of Christ whether they're going the same place that Christ is going. And, you know, if we're not heading the same place, we're off course. But not only does it mean someone who would have the same destination, but the same direction. They're going in the same way. For instance, you can have the same destination, but a whole different route. You know, there's been times when I first moved here, I'd use my GPS to head back to Indiana. Sometimes, depending on where I'd live, it'd route me through Alabama and up. Other times it'd route me up through Atlanta and back up. But I had the same destination in mind, but I had my own, it had different routes of arriving there. But when you say to someone, follow me, it's not just about the same destination, it is about the same direction. You're going along with them. You're following them. And I think about when it comes to following Christ, it's not just about having the same destination, but it's going along with him. Well, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble when we say, God, I want to go the same place you're going, but I want to go there my own way. I want to go there my own way. But when the Lord said, come after me, he was saying, look, fellas, I want you to come with me, and I want to have the same destination, but I want you to, if you will, go the same direction. How about this, walking in the same steps? Walking in the same steps, not just even more detailed than the same destination and direction, but it would be to just follow through the same steps. Not that long ago, my boys and I went squirrel hunting. I'm quoting that, all right, with Brother Sears. We didn't get to see a squirrel, all right? But we were going squirrel hunting, and there was a couple times when we would go through this. The brush was pretty high. And you can just imagine Titus, you know, trying to come through that brush all by himself, all right? He probably felt like he was in the middle of a sequoia, one of those forests. But But what he had to do was, I said, Titus, just walk right behind him. And so he had to get right behind almost the exact same steps, because if not, he's going to get all tangled up in all the brush that was around. You know, to follow Christ isn't just about the same destination and same direction, but it's also about following in those same steps. I'm thankful for that the Lord has left us some pretty clear steps in his word. Some pretty clear direction. And the Lord looked at his disciples and he says, fellas, he goes, come after me. I want you to follow me. Go to the same place, take the same direction, take the same steps. How about this one? How about the same heart? Hey, two can't walk together except they be what? Agreed. The same heart. God was saying to them, I want you to be concerned about the things that I'm concerned about. I think the Lord tried to teach that to his disciples for those 3 years, from this moment to the day he was caught up. He tried to teach them not only the same direction and same destination and same steps, but he said, fellas, I want you to have the same heart as me. Remember his rebuke to the Pharisee? He said, you draw nigh to me with your lips, but your what is far from me? Your heart. Well, you can draw close to Christ in the words that you speak, in the actions that you have, but have a heart that is completely separated from him. And when the Lord said, follow me, he said, come after me. He's speaking about this. He said, I want you to come after me. I want us to have the same destination, the same direction. I want you going right with me, following in the same steps. I want you to have the same heart. Isn't that what he was telling his disciples when he said this? He said, as the Father has sent me, so what? Send I you. I want you to have the same burden that I have. I came to this earth to die on that old rugged cross and to rise again 3 days later that you might be saved. And I'm giving you the commission to go out and let people know about what I have done for them. I want you to have the same burden. I want you to have the same heart. Remember when he knelt down and he washed his disciples' feet? Remember how he had said, even the Son of Man, he didn't come to minister to be ministered unto, but to minister. Forgive me for paraphrasing. You know, he's teaching his disciples, I want you to have the same heart as I want you to have a servant's heart. I want you to know what it's like to have my heart. You know, when I think about following the Savior, when he says, come after me, when he said, follow me, he's asking of us something. He's saying, look, fellas, would you take the same destination, the same direction? I mean, don't try to find your own way. Would you just follow me? Would you walk in my steps? Like a child just simply tries to put their fence. I don't know if, you know, down here we don't get that deep of snow. If you go up north and you go walking in the deep snow, good 8 inches, and if you're a kid following up, going with your parents through that snow, you're stepping up looking for that same footprint. You're looking for that same footprint. I want you to follow in my steps. I want you to have the same heart. And I think the question we ought to ask ourselves, you know, as a Christian and reading this passage is really, how close am I following? I don't know about you, but I can look at times in my life when I felt like I was right there with the Lord. And other times I felt like, ooh, man, I had the same destination, but I may not have had the same direction. I might have been trying to get to the same place, but I surely was a far cry from his steps and sometimes a far cry from his heart. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, he's saying, fellas, come after me. I'll tell you this, I believe this, the crowd wasn't with him. You know, there's only 120 people in that upper room. And one time he fed 4,000, one time he fed 5,000, but he had 12 disciples. Another place, 70, but we see the closest of them that he spoke to were the 12. You know, just sometimes because there's a crowd doesn't mean everybody's following very closely. If you could say about the 12 disciples, they were those that stuck the closest to him. In the book of John, there's a place where it says, and many of those that followed Christ spoke some pretty hard sayings, pretty hard to understand, and many of them no longer followed him. But the 12 stayed close. Peter said it was because he said, you have the words of life. You're the Son of God. You have the words of eternal life. Where could we go? How close are you following? I think of some things that it takes to be close. I think, first of all, you better listen to his call. You better listen to his call. When you look at this, he said, come after me. It was a personal call. If you notice, Christ, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the what? World. Christ died for the sins of the what? the world. But you know what? This portion of Scripture, he wasn't saying world. He said, Simon, Andrew, James, John, come after me. I'll tell you something about the Lord. He died for the sins of the whole world, but he calls us individually. We call that individual soul liberty. Christ died for everybody, but you better listen for the call when it comes to salvation. It's an individual call. Will you follow me? I think it's an individual call in our life. God's looking for a personal relationship, not a crowded room. God's not looking for one of the crowd. He's looking for individuals who walk closely with him. You ever notice how many times God lists names? You ever read in the Old Testament? Just read the first book of the New. Read Matthew chapter 1 and the genealogy that's there. How about Luke and the genealogy? How about going to the book of Numbers or Chronicles or going back to Genesis and all the times that God specifically listed a name and no story in connection to the name sometimes? See, I believe God's a God who died for the sins of the world, but he's looking for a personal relationship. There's an individual call. And in this portion of Scripture, he looks and he said, Simon, Andrew, James. Other times he said, Luke, Matthew. He said, will you come after me? Will you follow me? It's personal. God's looking for a personal relationship with people. Not just one of the crowd, but where we hear from him and have a personal walk with the Lord. A close following of him. Where we hear from him in his word and we hear from him and we spend time with him. It was a close fellowship with the Lord. I believe this because there's coming a day, friend, when you and I will stand individually before him. Listen to these verses in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then this phrase, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You ever think about that verse? There's coming a day when it's going to be you and him face to face, eyeball to eyeball. That everyone. It won't be one of the crowd. It won't be one of us in a bunch. But there's coming a day when we're going to step up to him just one-on-one. There may be a crowd around us, but God's not going to be looking at the crowd. Growing up, I remember there were times when, you know, we'd do something, get in trouble, and go in before my mom and dad, and we'd say this. We'd say, but mom or but dad, but mom or but dad. And the first thing they'd say is, no buts about it, all right? Leave that all out. But you don't know what so-and-so did about it. You don't know what this, I'm not here for them. This isn't about them. This isn't about that person. This is about you. How you responded, what you did, leave everything out. Well, friend, there's coming a day when it's just going to be us before him, receiving the reward for how we've served him, how we followed him. You know, it tells me God cares about individual. Man, God died for the sins of the whole world. We're all going to be there. But, friend, he's not just looking for a crowd of people. He's looking for individual followers of Christ. People who follow him closely, who walk near to him, and have a personal relationship. I think this about it. Not only is it a personal call when he calls us, but it says this, to follow Christ, it is a sacrificial decision. It's a sacrificial decision. Look at verse 18. Well, go back to verse 17, get the context of it. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And then this phrase, and straightway they forsook their what? Nets and followed him. They didn't give up a hobby. They gave up their livelihood. It's not that they gave up their hobby at that moment to follow him. They gave up their very livelihood. Remember Matthew, the tax collector? He left his tables behind. Luke, the physician, he left it behind. This wasn't them giving up a hobby. Boy, don't we sometimes think we've given up a great sacrifice for the Lord if we've given up a hobby for our Savior? Matter of fact, sometimes we struggle giving up the hobby. I don't give up the hobby. These folks didn't give up the hobby. They gave up their livelihood to follow Christ. So, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I want to follow you sacrificially. I'm going to put my life in your hands. I'm going to put my future in my hands. I'm going to trust my... Hey, by the way, Peter had a family. We know this because his mother-in-law was healed. And you don't have a mother-in-law without a wife, all right? I don't know who makes that trade, all right? And I love my mother-in-law, all right? But the reality is Peter had a family. He had a livelihood, and when he put down his net, he left it. How about James and John? And the Lord specifically lists their father, the sons of Zebedee. They put down their nets, and they left their father to follow him. Sacrifice. A sacrificial following of Christ. Oftentimes, you know, we live in a culture that we try to give God of the excess that we have. And sometimes we feel we've given a great sacrifice if we gave up some of our hobby time or our free time. Yet these folks sacrificed and gave up their livelihood to follow Christ. Friends, these were folks with families, with businesses, with jobs. Guys, these weren't folks still sitting on the couch, watching Netflix, playing video games, reading books. You know, these guys were busy. I found this. God calls busy people. God uses busy people. The ones that are just sitting around loafing, they're not the ones that God's looked. God, matter of fact, read your Bible. God uses a lot of people. He's used some thieves, some persecutors of Christians. He's called out some idolaters, some adulterers. But you read that book long and hard, you don't find God using lazy people, does he? Lazy people and proud people. God resisted the proud. You know what he called? He called busy people. And he said, would you follow me? Come after me? Sacrifice for me? See, following Christ is when we say, I'm going to sacrificially follow my Lord. Friend, I'm not calling you to give up your livelihood and go be a missionary unless God calls you to do that. But I'm telling you this, sacrifice is a part of following Christ. Sacrifice is a part of following Christ. Oftentimes, it's as if we say, I'll follow you, Lord, until I can't follow you because of a sacrifice that might be required. Sometimes God takes me to the point where I say I can't to see if I'm willing to sacrifice. Would you give something up to follow me? Would you lose something to follow me, Seth? Would you trust me? If you're going to follow Christ, I think this, when we follow Christ, it demands a sacrifice. They put down their nets. They put down their livelihood. They forsook it all, and they followed him. You know, the Bible says this in Luke 9, 61 through 62, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Boy, isn't that hard and harsh. That's harsh preaching. The Lord, let me go back and let me say goodbye. And he goes, put your hand to the plow and look back. You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You're not fit for my service. If you put your hand to the plow and you start looking back. You know what God was interested in? He was interested in folks that would say, Lord, I am going to follow you closely. Here's what I want, Lord. I want to have the same destination, the same direction, the same steps, the same heart. I want to follow you as closely as I can, no matter what it may cost me. I found this, when you're following Christ that closely, he pretty much takes care of it all. He pretty much takes care of it all. He's saying sacrifice for me. But it wasn't just a sacrifice, but it was to follow Christ is not only a sacrifice, but it's submissive. Go down just a few verses here and look at verse 21 through 22. It says this, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogues and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had what? Authority, and not as the scribes. They could hear the authority in his voice and in his teaching. You ought to take this. This week I've been reading through Romans. I don't know how many of you are doing that through the Bible, through the New Testament, 90 days. I'm there. I'm a few days behind. I'm playing catch up, all right? But I was reading in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, you know, that's that great verse teaching on, great chapter teaching on baptism and how we've been set free to walk in newness of life. It says, it begins with, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? And then he talks about how we were buried with him and we rose again to walk in newness of life in the Christian life. And as you get further into the chapter, he talks about yielding our members unto righteousness and not unto sin, to obey and to be servants. I went through my Bible as I read that passage of Scripture, and I circled every word that had to do with surrender or submission to the Lord, Romans chapter 6. And it's a bunch. Whether it was the word serve or servant or obey or yield. And you know that chapter is all about walking in newness of life. It's about the Christian life. You know, baptism is a picture. And we use that very words as in baptism. We say, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection to what? Walk in newness of life. You know what newness of life walking is? A submissive, surrendered life to the Lord. Amen. Just trusting him. And over again in that chapter, when it's talking about walking in newness of life, he's talking about being yielded, about being obedient, about being servant, just following him, following him, following him, trusting him, trusting him, trusting him. I believe this. You notice when God called those disciples, he didn't say, follow me and I'll make you a great leader of men. He didn't say, follow me. He didn't call them out to be great leaders. He called them out to be great followers. Folks who would, and I believe this, God, you can't be a great leader for the Lord until you're first a great follower for the Lord. Look, I would say this, boy, if you're not following closely to the Lord, you're not worth following. Am I right? If you're not following close to the Lord, if I'm not following close to the Lord, don't follow me. Because I've got the wrong destination, the wrong direction, the wrong steps, the wrong heart. God didn't say this. He didn't say, come after me, Peter, I'm going to make you a great leader of man. John, follow me, I'm going to make you a great leader. He said, would you just come after me, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You know what he's looking? He was looking for some fellows who would learn to follow. That took a while for Peter to get. Right? How many times did the Lord rebuke Peter? He even looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's pretty harsh rebuke, all right? Give me that, get thee behind me, Satan. Hey, Peter, over and over again, God was teaching him to be a great follower. Finally, Peter got it, and God used him to see over 3,000 people saved at Pentecost, to pastor the church at Jerusalem. But you know he had to learn first? To be a great follower. To be a great follower. He was looking for submission. Submission is God's way up. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the who? Humble. And are you submissive to the Lord? Are you just living in that place where you just say, Lord, whatever it is, that's what I'll do? It takes submission to follow anybody. I have a heavy foot confession, all right? I have a hard time following people anywhere because I'm usually, trying to get around them. Okay, all right? But you have to discern later if you're going to follow anybody but anywhere, you have to get behind them. You ever follow somebody in a car and you think, well, I would have gone a different direction. I'd have taken a different road. We'd have done this differently. But if you're going to follow someone, you're going to have to yield to the direction they're taking. And Christ looked at him, he said, come after me. Follow me. And I believe this, Christian, the call isn't to be great leaders. The call is to be great followers. If you're a great follower, God can do a lot with you. If you're more concerned about being a great leader than a great follower, God's going to have a hard time using you. It's when we say, God, I just want to be, first of all, a great follower of my Savior and my Lord. Here I am. I want to put myself in a place, if your word says it, that's what I want to do. If that's the direction you're taking, that's where I want to go. If that's the heart you have, that's the heart I want to have. If that's the steps, I don't understand it, but I'm going to follow your steps. Sunday school, we're talking about the doctrines of God, and one of the things about God is that He's omniscient. He's all knowing. We're talking about what a comfort that is, because have you ever read something in the Bible, a specific command that God gave you, and you said, "Lord, if I follow that, I don't really see that it's going to work out very well." But when you know something about God, that He's omniscient, that He's all-knowing, you realize something. God knew the circumstance that I am in, and He still wrote that command. So He must know something that I don't know, that it's going to be all right if I just submit, surrender, and follow Him. Maybe it was the first time you heard about tithing. You remember the first time you heard about tithing? For me, I was just a little bitty kid, all right? I had the advantage of my parents took my tithe out. It was first forced withdrawal, all right? And all right. But the reality is the first time you heard about it, and you're like, "Well, I don't really see how that works. 10%. I really need that 10%. But somewhere along the line, it just spoke to your heart. God kept after you, came after you, and so you submitted and surrendered. And then you look back and you said, "Well, I didn't really understand it, but God sure knew what He's talking about. God sure knew what He's talking about." Hey, because we surrendered and we submitted and we followed. I'm going to tell you this. If you're going to follow Christ very closely, you must be submissive. You must be surrendered. It's a word we don't like. Matter of fact, we'd probably like to cut it out of the dictionary and throw it away. But it's a must in following Christ. It's to hear a personal call, to have not only a personal call, but to have a sacrificial decision, a submissive decision. And the last one is this: to follow Christ is a rewarding decision. Skip down to verse 23. It says this: "And there in the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.' When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud cry, with a loud voice, he came out of him." And then this phrase in verse 27, "And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority and commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him.'" I look at that. They were amazed. I believe this: when you follow closely, Lord, you see amazing things. You see amazing things. Friend, when you heed an individual call with a sacrificial and submissive heart, and you follow closely to the Lord, that is the place where you see amazing things. Can I tell you something? If Peter and Andrew and James and John had stayed mending their nets, you know what they would have seen? A bunch of nets. The same thing day after day. They'd hauled in some fish, a different fish, but it sure looked the same as the last one, all right? One day my dad was fishing, and he was out fishing by the pond, and he wasn't catching anything, and he said, "Lord," he said, "I'd sure love for you to show me how much you love me. Just give me a fish." And he caught a fish, and he reeled it in, and it was about that big, all right? And he's like, "Oh, there it is. God loves me." But you know, when you follow closely to the Lord, you see amazing things. You know what I catch? You know what amazing things that happen in us? Notice what he said to them. He said, "Come after me, and I will make you to" what? That little word, you underlined that word. "Become fishers of men." It's amazing what God does in us when we follow after him. These guys weren't fishers of men. These were fishermen. You knew if you asked Andrew or how to fish, he could tell you, or James and John, they could tell you. If you asked Luke how to be a physician, he could tell you. If you'd asked Matthew how to be a tax collector, he could have told you. They weren't fishers of men, but they were when God got done. "Follow after me, and I will make you to become." It's amazing what God can make out of us when we follow him. It's amazing to me that some times look back at what God has done in my life. I'll tell you this, the fact that I stand and preach is an amazing thing to me. Nobody ever believes it, all right, unless you knew me when I was a kid. But I was a very quiet, reserved person. You wouldn't have caught me dead in front of a whole bunch of people. That was one of my big arguments with the Lord when I knew he spoke to my heart about preaching, is that I said, "Lord, I'm not the guy for that." I would preach with my hands in my pocket, not out of habit, because my hands shook, all right? and I would sweat because I was scared, not because I was hot. Now it's because I'm hot, all right, and I got a bad habit of putting my hands in my pocket. But can I tell you this? God does amazing things. Have you been used of God to lead someone to Christ? And see, wow, God, you've done some amazing things in me. There was a time when I was the guy who needed to be saved, and now you've given me the wonderful opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teach a Sunday school class and see God use you, work a bus route, usher. It is amazing what God can do with us when we follow Him closely. It is amazing the things that we get to see, not only in what we become, but how God uses us and the miraculous things we get to see in our life that we would have never got to see if you stand back and say, Lord, where are you going to sleep tonight? And He said, I don't know. The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay His head. And they go, oh, well, I've got a place to lay my head tonight. I think you move on down the road. I'm going to stick right here. Well, Lord, let me go back and say goodbye to my friends. And God says, well, you go back, but I'm moving on down the road. It's amazing what happens in our life when God calls and we recognize something. Boy, this is going to cost me something, but I'm going to follow Him anyway. Hey, boy, I'm going to have to surrender some things in my life, but I'm going to follow Him anyway. And when we do it, the amazing things we get to see take place in our life. See, the question for every Christian is, I am convinced it's Sunday night. You're not here just because. You're here because you are a follower of Christ, I would imagine. You've come to that place when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The question for us, I would say for the bulk of us, isn't whether we're followers of the Lord. It's just, how closely am I following? How close am I following? And am I close enough to Him? Am I sacrificing? Am I willing to pay the price to follow my Savior? Am I willing to be submissive and surrender to His will? We don't like that word in our culture. We hate it. And don't get me wrong, it's because we're human. I don't care for the word either. But are we submissive to His will? Are we seeing God doing amazing things? I think of that word, become fishers of men. I know God's done some changing work in my life since I've been saved. And I also know this, He's got a whole lot more changing to do in this guy's life. Am I becoming who He'd have me to become? Shaped and conformed. And He says this, come after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. He didn't say, and by the way, if you catch this, He didn't say, you turn yourself into something worthy of following me. Do you see that? He didn't say that. That'd be works. He said, just follow me and I'll make you to become something. See, I have found this. The closer you get to the Lord, God does changes in our life that I really didn't have much to do with. When you sacrifice, when you surrender, when you get close to Him and in His Word, you look back and you say, what? How did that change in my life? And you realize that God did something in my life. Well, I might have had to make a choice to surrender or to sacrifice, but that change was a change that God did. That's what 1 Corinthians 3:18 is all about. But we all with open face, beholding in His glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He says this, when you look into that Bible like it's a glass or a mirror and you see who you are and you see who God is, with an open face that's a willing heart, and you see who God is and who God would have to be, and you just surrender to that, it says we're changed even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I have found this, that even the changes that have taken place in my life, I don't get to take credit for. I don't get to take credit for. It was God who did it as I stepped closer to Him. As I stepped closer to Him. One man was preaching on friendship, and he said this, You don't get to choose the influence your friends have on you. You only get to choose who your friends are. And there's a lot of truth to that, am I right? People are going to rub off on you one way or another. You're just going to choose who you're hanging around with. How good it is to choose to hang around the Lord. To say, I want to follow you closely. I want to hear that personal call that calls me close. And I'm going to sacrifice and surrender and to get as close to Him as I can with the same destination, direction, steps, and heart. I'm going to sacrifice when He asks me to sacrifice, surrender to His working and will of my life. And the closer you get to Him, you see that becoming part taking place in your life, becoming who He'd have us to be. And it's in that place that we see amazing things take place. I like that phrase. They were amazed. What just happened here? I don't know about you, but I love to see God do amazing things. Ordinary is not too impressive, all right? But God can do amazing things. He can do amazing things in my life. He does amazing things in the lives of others around you as you serve the Lord. And you see amazing things unfold as you just simply follow God that you don't see back at the seaside sitting with a net in your hand. It's when you say to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice some. God makes a call and you say, but Lord, you don't understand. I have a vocation. I have this, I have that, and I have this. And God said, come after me. And you get up and follow Him. When He says, come after me, but Lord, I don't know about the route you're taking. And yet you sit and you follow His route anyway, and God does amazing things. I have found this, facility-wise, this is one of those very things. You ever head down one route and have God shift it? You can fight God shifting all you want. But that's a bad place to be. Let God take you the route He wants to take you. And too many times we're looking up at God and say, this is the one I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. I'm going the same place you are, Lord, but I just got a different direction to get route to get there. God says, no. My route, my timing, in my steps, follow me closely and watch me do some amazing things in you, through you, and around you. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I pray that tonight we just do a checkup. How close are we to you? Lord, is there some...